Now, before I get started, I just wanted to take a little bit of time to thank some people, because we didn't get an opportunity to do that. One of the things that Valley Brook is very much known for is its presence in the community. From its inception, Valley Brook has found a way to look at the needs of the people around it and use its talents in order to bless others, to bless them in whatever capacity that they might need. And so over the June time, last week of June, the youth do something called, we have a missions week. And we take a little bit of time out to go into the community and to do some type of mission work. And this year, we went back to Meals on Wheels. Meals on Wheels is an organization in Baltimore that feeds people who are unable to get out of their homes or in mobile. In certain cases, they're just people who are just incapable of maybe just cooking for themselves. And they provide, I believe it's 2 meals per day, one hot, one cold. And it's between 1,500 to a couple of thousand meals every single day, ranging from Baltimore all the way down into Annapolis. So I duped a couple of folks into going into Meals on Wheels with me, some 2 days in a row. And let me tell you, we had a marvelous time, but I never want to see any peaches, pineapples, carrot and raisin salad, or fish again. We worked hard, but we had a wonderful time. So if you're here, I don't see Clinton's, and I don't see Miss Kathy Vick. So that's 2 people I know that are not here, but Flamina, George, it was a bunch of y'all. Let me see, I didn't have my list with me. If you participated in Meals on Wheel, please stand so that we can give you all just a hand clap and tell you how much we appreciate what you did. Jordan, Akasha, Shanice, we had a good time. We had a good time. And, you know, maybe we can convince them to just, you know, give us a day every year and we can all do that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. George, we're going to put you on bread, though. Now, if you hear a little something in my voice, it's a little scratchy, or you're looking at my eyes and you see very large bags, it is because yesterday was Joy Fest. So we went down to King's Dominion at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we got a chance to participate in the concert that was there. And we got to hear Caleb Serrano. He was on Little Big Shots. That's the name of the show. He was on Little Big Shots doing praise and worship. And he praised and worshiped like a little man. I swear, he's that big. But he was in it. At one point, he was praising. He told the band, just stop the music. He's like, praise Jesus. And he's looking at the crowd. He's like, praise Jesus. And he was not moving off of that thing until they got up on their feet. And that little boy praised. Let me tell you. Then we got a chance to hear the Walls group. And those were some fired up young folks right there. Then Anthony Brown and Group Therapy. First of all, there should never be sopranos, altos, or tenors that can sing that high. These harmonies were so high and so tight, I swear dogs started singing with them. But they were on point. It was Tasha Cobbs was there, and that if you ever get a chance to see her, she's a worshiper. She's a prophetic worshiper. And we were just sitting at the throne of God the entire time. Awesome. Then, of course, Ty Tribbett. Somebody needs to get that guy a Valium. He is, but oh my goodness, his vocals, tight. But we had a praise good time, and then we ended up with Fred at the end, Fred Hammond, and oh my goodness, he actually pulled up a choir of people just from people out of the audience, and they sung different songs with them, and it was just a blessing. It was a blessing. The first half of his set was just really just praise and worship type songs, and he just song after song after song. It was just praise and worship. You know, he went, you know, he did a little new school and went back. You know, it was like some little, you know, glory, glory, hallelujah. I mean, we were into it. It's like, this is all right. So we had a ball. And we finally got back here about midnight, and I think I finished my sermon around 2. So if at some point I put my hand on the podium and tend to doze off, just yell my name, I'll wake back up. But during that time, I had the opportunity of really just sitting amongst this with this sermon and had a chance to really just sit with each other. And it came to mind that, you know, as a youth pastor, sometimes it's you're not necessarily looking at what's wrong when it comes to youth. But you're looking for opportunities to help them move forward. And with them, you sometimes see things that become the example of how you can move forward. We had Boys Night Out a couple of weeks ago. And we're here, you know, we eat dinner, you know, we sit down and we start talking. I think we may have started talking sometime around 8:30. I think we finished talking sometime around... about midnight. By midnight. I think we finished talking about midnight. And the closeness that the fellas had was just inspiring. You could see that because they had been together so long, that the tenor of the conversation was very intimate. Those that felt like that they had something to say and had a problem with, they brought it into the group, and the boys helped out each other. Those that were just going through situations, just like, you know, we're just trying to figure out what the right thing to do, they weren't hesitant. They just went out and said what they had to say. And you could tell that each guy that had something to offer, something to say, some advice, wasn't doing it just to kind of make the other one feel bad or make himself seem proud or smarter than the other. It was really and truly that he was there to help his brother. So in seeing this, you know, I walked up to Pastor on a Tuesday and asked him, you know, what scripture is it that, you know, that talks about, you know, just the intimacy amongst the saints? What can I kind of use to find that? And he sent me to Galatians 6. And if you go to Galatians 6, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. I'll give you a second. When you get there, say amen. And the word of God says, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Hold on to that verse. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. This morning's message is titled, Lean on Me. But it's not the me that we're leaning on. If I had to give it a subtitle, I would just simply say, carry one another's burdens. Carrying one another's burdens. If you take a look at the scripture, one of the things that you start to see out of this is that in the process of carrying one another's burdens, it comes with some warnings, it comes with some changes, and it also comes with some benefits. When you hear in the first part of this verse, you hear some warnings. It's, you know, the writer is saying, hey, we should carry one another's burdens, but in doing so, be careful, because you may end up falling into one or two places. In one, you're going to find some temptations, okay? Now, we all have temptations. We all have things that, you know, seem a little bit like we want to get into, but we try not. And when we try to be there for someone else, we see their temptations fully. And at times, those temptations might trigger us to want to steer into it. So Paul was saying, be careful, be mindful, be watchful in those situations, knowing maybe whom you can be a good burden bearer for and maybe who you can't. Because certain situations just might not be useful for you. As you guys are coming into a lot of situations where it's brand new, and in certain cases you are strong to handle a number of things, but there's going to be certain things where in life your experience will make those experiences a little bit weaker for you to handle. So in those times, be careful. Heed the warning. Know that your pushing away is not you being, it's not you pushing away that person. It's basically you knowing your limits. And knowing when it's time to step aside and allow someone else to come into to help in this person alone, so that you don't cause them to stumble and so that you don't stumble yourselves. Okay? Now, the second part of that warning has to do with, well, I'll just say it's judgment. Because there are times when we kind of sit and we look at those people in the different places and we go, well, I'm glad it ain't me. Or, well, you know, I'm a lot stronger than that, so poor, poor thing. But see, I like what the writer did. See, he had already anticipated that, you know, at times we sometimes slip into that. Now, I know none of y'all slip into that. That's just me. That's just me, but, you know, I'll admit it. He says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then take pride. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. See, at first when we read this, you know, I thought, wait a minute, didn't you say carry your burdens? And now you're telling me to carry my own load? What? Ain't that a contradiction? But when I went back and read it again, I'm like, oh, I get it. See, the carrying your own loads just mean that all of us are responsible for ourselves.
That's right.
When we get to that day, when we're standing before the Lord, he's not going to go and read. When Bobby gets there, he ain't going to go read George's list. I love George. I think George's list is probably a little bit better than mine. I think he might want to read George's list. But I don't get that luxury. I won't get there, look up at his glorious face and say, well, you know, I think I'll read Abaku's list. Yeah. Abaku's my son. He's getting closer. You know, I might appreciate that. You know, I know some of the skips I've had in life. So, like, yeah, that might be good. But he's like, no. He's going to read my list. I'm responsible for me. That can be a scary thing, or that can be an encouraging thing. See, if you're able to heed this warning that you are responsible for you, you really start to get into the changes that this scripture starts to prepare in your life. Because your eyes start to see people differently. You start to see people in their weakness differently. You don't see it as someone who's less than. You see them as opportunities to be a blessing. You don't see them really as them. You see them as us. And when us are weak, it takes us to bring us back strong. A team is only as strong as its weakest link. So if we're going to be a great team, we all have to be strong and stand together. Well, let's talk about those changes then. Come on now, y'all. Romans 15 is what really kind of honed this in for me. Romans 15, verses 1 through 4, and I'll read them. It says, "We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbor for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." You see, in the Galatian scripture, carry each other's burdens in the way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what is that law? That law goes back here to this scripture where it's saying, look, Christ bared our burdens. He bared our sins for us, not in regard for himself, but in regard for our good. Y'all get that? He gave his life as an example, bearing all that we had, not for himself, but for our good. When I initially thought about this scripture, there, back in the day, there used to be a t-shirt. And this t-shirt was this picture of this very buff Christ. I mean, this dude was just rippling, just muscles. And he was doing a push-up with a cross on his back. And the t-shirt said, "His pain, your gain." You see, that's what it looks like when it comes to our burdens being on Christ's back. Yes, we know it hurt. Yes, we know that there was pain, but he pushed up and bared it all for us. So in doing so, he's saying, look, all right, I want you to carry each other's burdens. That's something I want you to do. So when you start to do that, when you start to emulate what Christ did for us, well, see, it starts to change your very DNA. Let's take a look at some of these changes. One of the first changes is when we start to act, when we start to bear each other's burdens, it causes us to change how we see weakness. Like it's Romans said, we bear the failings of the weak. Weakness can look like a number of different things. It can look like need. It can look like the inabilities. It can look like pitfalls. It can look like dangers. While we were at Joy Fest, we were just getting ready to sit down for lunch. And these two gypsies walked up. And one of them just kind of came over to the table and said, you know, can you guys spare a bottle of water? Now, initially, I'm sitting there. I'm getting my gloves on, trying to get everything prepared. And I'm like, I'm hesitating. But it wasn't like I'm hesitating not to give it. It was just like I'm shocked by the question. You know, And so I'm like, yeah, just take one of those. You know, the guy takes it and walks off. You know, says thank you. You know, it's very polite. But I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm in this I got this thing that's just sitting on me. And it wasn't sitting on me because I thought, you know, I was bothered by them. It was like, really and truly, it's like, I feel like I'm supposed to be doing more. And I'm sitting with this thing, and I'm starting to make sandwiches, and I'm looking up the street. And at a certain point, I just stop, and I'm just looking, like, where are they? Because the inkling within me was just like, I didn't say the right thing. I'm sitting here. I'm feeding my crew. I know everybody's got, I know I got enough. But the thought here is, hey, y'all want a sandwich? Here, I got plenty. Take a few. But I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, this, it's just churning and churning in me. And I'm just like, and by the time, you know, my resolve is there, you know, they're gone. And immediately my mind is like, I missed the blessing. I missed the blessing. You see, when you get to a point to where God's starting to change your DNA to bear each other's blessings, you see other people's weaknesses not as inconveniences, but as a need to be filled. All I could hear is, well, maybe they're hungry. Can I feed them? All I could hear is Christ saying, when I was hungry, you fed me. Bearing each other's burdens puts people in a different light in your eyes. When you see their failings, one of the things I really love about Galatians 6 is that it's actually talking about restoration. When a person has failed, how to restore them. Not how to take the issues or the burdens or the failings that they had, the mistakes, and to keep kicking them while they down. Not to, look, this place is too holy for you. You need to sit over in the center section. I mean, hey, want me to tell you what it looks like? Center section is, this is it. One of the biggest things, one of the biggest issues that we talked about when we were doing the unchristian book was the fact that they thought that Christians stood too much in judgment of others. That they thought that we just thought ourselves to be too high above everybody else. When in all actuality, Christ was like, look, hey, I came here for the sick. This is a hospital. We are the emergency room. Each one of you are emergency room surgeons. And guess what? You are the most specialized surgeons in the world because you all do surgery on the heart. You all do surgery on the heart. You bring your love into a place where people are so hurt and so crushed and have been so betrayed and offended that when they come into this place, they come in here for mending. When you turn your heart to where you are looking to mend others, to bear their burdens, that's what you're signing up to do. You're basically saying, come on into the prep. I'm ready to do some surgery and heal that broken heart. Or at least be used as the tools that the Lord uses to do it. He changes our DNA so that we see our weakness differently. Teens, how many of you guys have seen the second series of 13 Reasons? We said no, and we're not going to. It's okay. Only reason I brought it up is because I think about one of the young men that was in there. You see, also when we see weak, we see people that seem to be on the outside. The forgotten, those that seem to be just a little bit different than others. And when you decide that you're going to be a person that bears others' burdens, you see that person a little bit differently. One of the things I ask you to do is, I implore you to do, is to look at those people that are on the fringes a little differently. You see, when you're out there all by yourself, you become susceptible to a lot of different things. You become susceptible to influences that are not for your good, that don't grow you, that don't mature you, that don't feel you, that definitely don't love you. You become vulnerable to those that just wish to do nothing but prey on you and harm you. And see, this young man that they depicted here, that's exactly what happened to him. He went through a rough time. He made some mistakes, and it left him on the fringes, and nobody really embraced him. All he was looking for was a community. All he was looking for was someone to love. And at the point where he was at his worst, at his most broken, ready to do something awful, it was the show of love and sacrifice that changed the situation. How we see each other's weaknesses. How we see each other's weaknesses shows us or helps us change into a better people. It changes how we see it. Bearing each other's weaknesses teaches us to be more accepting of others as Christ is accepting of us. Well, Mr. Bobby, you just said that. Well, this is a little bit different. See, I was looking at, as I'm looking at Romans 15, it kind of took me back into Romans 14. And with this one, it was how to bear one another, like one another in the church, one another in the faith. As you walk, you're going to encounter a lot of people that just don't believe like you do. They do church a little bit differently than you. I was at Joy Fest again. Most of my references will probably be about Joy Fest because they just worked. So I'm sitting on the hill, and I told you about Caleb Serrano. I am enjoying myself. I am praising. I am clapping my hands. I am having a ball. And I'm sitting in the Baptist section.
All right, Baptist section.
But they were primitive Baptists, meaning they're a little bit more reserved.
Okay,
reserved. A little bit more reserved. Now I'm sitting there, and like I said, y'all don't go through this, so yeah, I talk about me. I'm sitting there, and initially I'm looking over, I'm going, what's wrong with y'all? This boy, go ahead, boy. I got you. Look at her. And it was at that point I caught myself. I'm like, you don't know what God is doing in that heart.
Amen.
You don't know what it is that they're feeling, that they're experiencing. If what you're getting is for you, you get yours. So at that point, I was like, oh, no. Hey, go on now. But in the same show, a performer was on stage. And he made a reference about not praising the right way. And it was at that point, another prick hit my heart. And I'm like, I feel sorry for them because they don't know. There is no right way. Because what it is that they're doing for God. And then that scripture came back up. And if you read through Romans 14, what you see is he sits there and just names. Some people eat meat, some people don't. Some people have a special day, some people don't. But it's all about how they praise their God. And I was like, oh, I get it. See, I see that God was changing again my DNA so that I saw everybody just like he sees me. And if he's happy with my praise, then he's happy with their praise. And all of a sudden, I had less to worry about. I wasn't sitting there like, oh, I'm all preoccupied with who's not doing what. Come on. Instead, I was opened up and like, let's go. All right, yeah. And I'm going to tell you, I went. It was a show. Y'all look on the internet. There's probably a picture of Marcus still down there dancing. Because it was about his sincere praise. See, that change in DNA, what it does is it switches off that little judgment center that we sometimes get, that little piece that gets in the way of the purity of the praise. However it looks. See, if I ain't looking at anybody else, I can really hear what it is that God is saying to me. And it's at that time I'm really blessed. Because I am sitting at my Father's throne, glorying at who he is and what he's done in my life. Bearing each other's burdens also changes our outlook. I wanted to be a better example of Christ's love. Verse 2 says, I want to, let me read that again. Verse 2 in Romans 15. Each of us should please our neighbor for their good, to build them up. Bearing each other's burdens changes our hearts so that we can have a different outlook about each other. And an outlook that's based upon our good, that we might prosper, that they might prosper and grow and see God more clearly. It allows for us to forgive each other's trespasses. And to really not sit in judgment, but to sit in love. At work, I have a coworker who, to put it lightly, doesn't know what to say out of her mouth. This person has probably offended every aspect of my life in the course of the time that I've worked with them. From my race, to my profession, to my religion, to my gender, you name it, it has happened. And there has been many a day I have walked into that office, sat down at my desk, and as Tasha Cobb said last night, said this, if she said one more thing to me, I'm going to lose my religion today. But then again, darn heart pricks come up again. I told you it's your job to carry each other's burdens, even hurt. And then he would show me, as I've listened to her, you know, the other things that have been said. I've heard hurts. I've heard betrayals. I've heard this feeling like that she was in a forgotten community and that she was looking for somebody to embrace her. Even though she was a different religion, she was basically saying, look, you guys say that this Christ guy loved all. He welcomed all. Can you show that love to me? How hard is it to love the person you think is unlovable? How hard is it to forgive the person you think has done the unforgivable? I'm not asking you to forget. I'm not, that's, forgiveness is a process. It takes time. It takes God changing that heart every single day. It takes miraculous power at times, because there are things that have been done. I know that you can remember things that have been done to you that you just think, you know what? I ain't never going to forgive, and I ain't ever going to forget. But as God changes your heart, then you start to find different ways of being a little bit lighter on your feet when it comes to those people in those situations. You find ways to be less affected by those things that have been done to you and start to see the path forward to a more forgiving, more loving life, more truthful life. And what I mean by truthful, I don't mean that you're living a lie. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that those things tend to, well, put barriers in front of your eyes. You start to see that offense in every person that you encounter. You start to look for triggers in anything that happens. If somebody looks at you the wrong way, you're on guard. If somebody says a certain phrase a certain way, you're all of a sudden clenched fists and ready to fight. And you end up missing out on really what's going on around you. You're staying in your head, still fighting in the past, instead of enjoying the present and the blessings that might be in front of you. See, this last bearing of burdens is a hard one, because it's asking us to do something that Christ did for us, which was to forgive us even when we were an enemy to him. It's a difficult task. But if we can accept that, if we can start to embrace a little bit of that, well, see, then you start to hit into the benefits of doing it in the first place. Because, see, if you noticed, all the while you were carrying each other's burdens, you were building up your own dependence on Christ. See, if you notice, each time you forgave somebody else, you were learning how to forgive yourself and knowing that God had forgiven you. Each time you forgot about, or you were more accepting of someone else, you started to see how God was accepting of you. Each change that you did for someone else was like a push-up or a bench press or a squat that was strengthening your resolve to be more hopeful, to be more enduring, to persevere more to the end. You see, God was pretty shifty with this one. I like how he did it. He said, look, I'm going to set something up that causes you to bear for other people. But in essence, it's really building up you. My main point, if you get anything, bearing each other's burdens prepares us to allow God to bear our burdens and to lean on him. Too often, we try to sit back and lean on ourselves and our own understanding. Too often, we try to do it all by ourselves. Y'all don't have to throw at me everything. I know what it's like. But when Pastor walked up and placed this podium up for me, what he was doing was bearing a burden for me. He didn't know it. He ain't thinking. It wasn't premeditated or planned. But he did it because his DNA has been changed. He saw a need and he filled it. Each one of you, like I said, heart surgeons, are here to bear the burdens of others. But don't do it begrudgingly. Because what you sow, you will reap. The harvest is coming. So celebrate in it. Work hard for one another. And watch how hard, or watch the benefit of how God works it for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.